Praise the Lord. Let's see, we got Bill Miner here and his wife. So good to see you. Beautiful. Yes. Turn with me to Acts for our theme for the morning. Evangelism. That's the church's role and the sharing of the message. I have a couple of short stories by way of introduction, and Pastor Bob Colban is going to share the message. And then at 11 o'clock, another service, and we have our theme on worship. So that'll be at 11, and then we'll have a great time tonight in our service. So Acts chapter 10, verse 1. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italiano band. Okay, Pastor Chiavelli was the head of that band over here. He was the head of the Italian band. Was that a Maharaji band? No, the Mexican, you know, the band. Okay, I'm sure. All right, so seriously, this man was a pagan, but there was something about him. He was not saved, but there was something about him in his heart. Verse 2, a devout man and one that feared God with all his house. We read later in the chapter, it's very clear he's not saved. He's not saved, but how was he devout? And how did it happen that he feared God? We call that pre-salvation grace, drawing somebody to God, God drawing that person to him. Where are these people living today? One of our brothers that came from China for the convention, I spent the day with him yesterday. And by the way, we have Pastor Pradeep down here with Pastor Doug. This is your last service, I think, and then he goes back to India. And he does amazing work in India in evangelism and sharing the message. It's amazing. Why? Because there are people like Cornelius today in the world. And this Chinese brother told me about a particular group of people in China. There's about 1 million of them in this minority group. They have their own language. And they lived in the southwest. They're in the near the border of Burma. And they, about 100 years ago, missionaries went there. And they gave the gospel. And they became believers. But they didn't have the Bible in their own language. So there are different languages, about 100, I think, in China, many different languages. And this people group had their own language. And he talked about it. And we just had a great time yesterday, just asking questions and learning about people that are far away geographically, but have something in their heart that they're hungry for. And you know our picture, this you know famous house picture that we have with every human being on the first floor of the house. And that world, I'll tell you another story. I asked him, I said, can you tell me something about somebody in China that is hungry for God? He said, there was a man I met. He had a lot of money. He got married, and they were doing great. And then he started gambling, and he lost all his money. Because of that, his wife divorced him. So then he started over again, and again he made a lot of money. And he got a girlfriend, and she moved in and lived with him. And then she stole all his money. Now he was a taxi driver. And he's about 50 years old. And this Chinese brother said to me, He goes, it never happens that an older man, 50-year-old, would cry in front of a 30-year-old man. But he said he just started crying in the taxi. And I told him about the Bible. And he's like, so what is he crying out for? He's wanting to know what's something deeper. I want to know. This is in China, right? Life happens around the world. And Cornelius is a good example of an unsaved person waiting for us, waiting for the church, waiting for us, waiting for a message. And you know, this Chinese brother that came here, I asked him, how much did it cost for your airplane ticket? He said, $1,700. I go, where did you get the money? He said, I stole it. No, I'm joking. He gave me the answer. It was agreed. I go, wow, you could use that money to live on, but how important was it for you to come here? And I said, what was the highlight of your time here? And he said, when James Didetis in the pastor's meeting was speaking, he said, I just started to cry. And I felt so like I wanted to go alone somewhere and just cry. And he said, I did, and I just cried for a half an hour. It touched my heart so much. Wow. That's the work of God. Evangelism in China. Evangelism in India. Speaking to people about the mysteries of Christ. So this minority group, I'll finish that story. This minority group, he said they didn't have the Bible, but now this organization translated the Bible into their language. He said before, in 100 villages, he said there were maybe 100 families, or maybe 20 families that would go to church. But now that they have the Bible in their own language, like 90 families out of 100 go to the church. 90 families out of 100 in the villages there in the mountains. Why do they go to the church? He said, and he told me this, he said, people that are gambling, people that are doing drugs, people that are smoking, drugs, and people that have bad habits, he said, they're reading the Bible and God is changing their life. God is changing their life. Wow, come on. That's the work of God, isn't it? Let's finish here. Chat. Cornelius saw in a vision, verse 3. Evidently, about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming into him and saying, Cornelius. When he looked on him, he was afraid and said, what is it, Lord? And he said unto him, your prayers and your alms are come up for memorial before God. Now send men to Joppa and call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. All right, let me finish with this short. Just say this. What did the angel say? Call for Peter. Call for Peter. The angel didn't preach the gospel. You need Peter to come and preach the gospel. You need somebody to come and preach the gospel. The angel didn't say, I will give you the gospel. No. He said, call for Peter. I remember I had a stack of letters from Ghana back in the 1980s, and I handed them to Pastor Shabelli, who was in Springfield at the time, and we really didn't know each other. But I said, here, take these letters and read them and tell me what we should do about it. There were letters that were listening to Pastor Stevens' program on the finished work. And the letters are saying, please come here. Please come here. He went. I mean, did he go? He went. He went there. The angel said to Cornelius, these are my words. I'm just going to fill it in there. Cornelius, your prayers are heard. And you need somebody with the gospel, a human being, to come and preach to you the gospel. Call for Peter. Peter went. That's what we do. We are a church that evangelizes. We are a people with a mission. We are people that believe in this. We are people that bring the Bible to parts of the world with a message. We are the people that are saying to people, please read your Bible. It'll change your life. Jesus will change your life. And that's what we're celebrating today. Amen. Would you please offering, what do I want to say? The end of that sentence. Please put in all of your jewelry. No. Everything, most importantly, in your heart. Give your heart to God, and then give whatever you want in the offering today. God bless you. Thank you for your faith and love. Amen.
Good morning. Never tried drawing on this thing, and I don't think I'll try it this morning. Okay. Great introduction. Thank you, Pastor. And this is a great theme, isn't it? Evangelism. And those of you who were at the meeting yesterday morning, some of what I'm going to say you heard yesterday, and I think it bears repeating, because I think it's so easy to be distracted from what is one of the primary purposes, or what some would say, and I believe it, the primary purpose of the church is evangelism. And what do I want to say this morning? Yeah, I have 3 points this morning, it's not going to be a 3-hour message. I taught this also in a Bible college class in February for 2 hours, and I'm condensing it down to a few minutes this morning. But I think the first point is this. What was the ultimate reason or purpose for Jesus coming to the earth? And it might sound like a simple question with a simple answer. And in a sense, it is a simple question with a simple answer. But it's a question that many people don't have the right answer to. And I'm sure most of us here in this church have the right answer. But many people don't understand why Christ came. And I think it's important in evangelism for us to understand that. And if you want to open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 16, I love this portion of Scripture. Matthew 16, it starts in verse 13. And it says this, when Jesus came into the borders of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? It's an interesting question. He's got his disciples there, the 12. He asked them, like you could say it this way, like, what's the buzz out there about me? What are people saying about me? Who do people think I am? You know, and he's kind of trying to catch, I'm sure he knew, but trying to catch the whatever the right word is, the buzz, I can't think of another word, but the buzz about what people are saying about me. What do people say? Who am I? And they answer him and say, some say thou art John the Baptist, some say Elijah, others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. And these answers are not surprising. You know, none of these answers are correct, but actually in one sense, you know, like Jesus was a prophet. He did prophesy. But is that what he is, a prophet? Some would say that's all he is a prophet. But he's so much more than that. And some say you're like Jeremiah or Elijah or John the Baptist and all this. And this is the buzz that was out there about him. And in this portion, he makes it very clear who he is. And, you know, and when you go out in evangelism on your families, maybe talking around the table, evangelism out on the streets, maybe at a coffee shop, wherever, maybe at work, this is the question that people don't have the right answer to. Hey, who do you think Jesus is? Because that's what he says to Peter next. Next he says to Peter, who do you say that I am? That's an interesting, man, that's a good question for evangelism. Who do you think Jesus is? Well, I think he's a prophet. What would people say? What are the answers that people say? I think he was a great teacher. Yeah, Jesus. Yeah, Jesus. You're talking about, yeah, Jesus was a great teacher. And we would say, yes, he was a great teacher. Matter of fact, it says, it's interesting, it says it in the Gospels that when he spoke, the people were astonished at his doctrine. Amazed. They had never heard anybody teach like this. He said, you teach with authority, not like the scribes and Pharisees. You teach with power. He spoke and the words ministered deep inside of people. So was he a great teacher? Absolutely. But was that why he came? Just to teach? Some say, oh, he's a great role model. You know, I want to model my life after him. Well, good luck. He was sinless. You know, and, you'll last maybe like 30 seconds. You know, and is he a role model? Of course he is. Sinless perfection. The life that he lived. The way he treated people. The way he ministered to people. The way he sacrificed himself for people. Yes, it's a great way to model ourselves, of course. But did he come just to be a role model for us? No, no. Some say he's a miracle worker, and he did miracles. You know, I think somebody has counted it. I don't know whether I forget what the official number is, you know. But also there are these verses where it says that Jesus was in a town, and it says he healed all those who came to him. Those miracles aren't counted in the counts that people have about how many miracles he did. He healed all of those who came to him. So really, I love where it says in John that the world, all the books of the world could not contain the things that Jesus did, but that's not why he came. It was more than doing miracles. It was more than being a great teacher. It was more than being a role model. It was more than being a prophet. His primary purpose was to die and pay the price for our sins. And you know, the angels, what was it, in Matthew 1:21, the angel said to Joseph, before Jesus was even born, he said, you know, Mary will have a son. You shall call his name Jesus, and he will what? He will save his people from their sins. He didn't say Mary's going to have a son, he's going to be a great role model. Didn't say Mary's going to have a son and he's going to do miracles, but he did. Or that he'd prophesy, and he did, but he will save his people from their sin. Then when he was born, what did the angel say? Behold, I can never quote scripture, so I use my paraphrase versions. Behold, unto you is born this day in the city of David a what? A Savior. This is the angel's announcement at his birth, who he is. Before he's born, at his birth, and then I love this one, John the Baptist, when Jesus approached him to be baptized, what did he say? Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Wow. I think we know who Jesus is, and I think we know that in this room, that he's more than what everybody says about him. But his true purpose for coming was to seek and to save them who are lost. You know, and the word save means saved, you know, as we use it, but it also means to rescue people. What do you mean rescue people? Like people are dying out there in their sin. And I'm not saying this, I don't want this to sound, I don't want you to, because I know the people, I know all of you in this room. And I know that you're with me in everything that I'm saying. And I'm not saying this to be like, you know, to put an undue burden on any of us, but people are dying out there. As we heard Pastor Schaller just briefly, people in China are looking for something. People all over the world are looking for somebody to come. And tell them what? Tell them you must be a good person? No. What did Jesus say? I love this. Jesus is, just before he gave up his spirit on the cross, what did he say? It is finished, right? It is complete. It is paid in full, however you want to say. But he said, it is finished. So what does that mean? The work of salvation is complete. Like there's nothing that can be added to it. I have finished the work that my Father gave me to do. This is incredible. This is the work is done. And then he is crucified. He is risen from the grave. He's around for 40 days. And what is he telling? You know, that's point one. Who is Jesus? And I think we answered that, right? Point number two, Jesus didn't stay around for 5 years to tell everybody what he did for them. You understand that? Like he was here 40 days, spent time with his disciples. He ministered to them. He was seen by 500. Excuse me. But he didn't hang around and say, hey, I got to go tell the world this message of what I did for them. He said what? Church, you are the ones. I did the work. It's all finished. Now I am commissioning the church and individual believers and the church to take this message into the world and tell the world what I have done for them. Not what I have done for them, what he has done for them. So the church is the vehicle because Jesus ascended. What's the last thing he said before he ascended? If you have your Bibles, the Great Commission. In Acts chapter 1, and really it starts at verse, he had them all assembled together. He commanded them that, this is verse 4, Acts 1, 4, that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, saith he, and you have heard from me. John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. And then verse 8, but you shall receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. This is the last thing that he said. The last thing, the Great Commission in Matthew, where is it? Matthew, I don't know if I have it written down here. Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 to 20, go and teach all nations, I am with you always. Mark 16:15, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. Luke 24:46-48, be witnesses unto me of all of these things. Tarry until you receive power from on high. And then here we're reading in Acts chapter 1. This is the Great Commission. We have been commissioned. We have been authorized to be the voice of the gospel into the uttermost parts of the world. And this is really our primary purpose as a church. I just want to read this quote from, his name is Robert Stacy. This was the book, I think, they were using for the college class. And it says, the primary purpose of the church in relation to the world is evangelization or evangelizing. He said, the confusion of the present church concerning her purpose is difficult to understand in light of the unequivocal command of the Lord to the church. Okay, that's kind of a mouthful. So I'll put it in my words, you know, like he says, the primary purpose of the church in relation to the world is evangelizing it. That's why we're here, as a church and as individual believers. And he says, this guy's a contemporary author. He goes, I don't understand why the church is confused. Why is the church confused about what its primary purpose is? Why is the church involved in all of these other things that are, you know, I'm not saying they're, but why are their primary purpose over here when their primary purpose should be, what did Jesus say to us before he ascended? It's unequivocal, meaning like there's no gray area in the Great Commission. It is the Great Commission. And he also said here, and I like this, he said in another part in the book, he said, there is no Great Commission part two. There is no Great Commission revised version. You know, when I was in college a few years ago, believe it or not, I graduated 50 years ago from college. I'm surprised I can remember anything from college, actually. But I had to take, I was a business administration, accounting degree. And we had to take a class in business law, which was mostly tax law. And I remember, the only thing I remember from this class is the teacher saying, the tax code is very small. And he said, it's really, the tax code itself as written is actually only a few volumes. He said, but the whole library downstairs is the additions to the tax code. The whole library. Revise this. This court ruled this. This did this. Everything changes over, you know, so now when you want to research something in tax code, you have to look through the whole history to find out what is the current status of this tax law. But the Great Commission is not like that. It stands, he said today, the author said, it stands today as it did then. This is the commission of the church. And it's a privilege, isn't it? I love this word privilege. You see it in the media all the time, used in a negative way. But actually, a privilege is a right that's given to a certain group of people. Meaning, like, not everybody has the privilege to preach the gospel. And you might say, because anybody can. But no, the church has the privilege to preach the gospel because the church knows the gospel. The church knows who Christ is, and the church knows the needs of the world. Now, why do we know the needs of the world? Like, how can I say the world out there is dying or hurting? Because I was part of that, and we all were. You know, I love Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. It talks about Paul saying it about himself, but about all of us, that we were all children of disobedience. We all lived according to the prince and power of the air. This is who we were. We can look back on our life and gloss it over, but the reality is we were just like everybody else, lost in sin, dying in our sins, without purpose, separated from God. The devil says jump, and we say how high. That's who we were. We were controlled that way. We were that. So we know what's going on out there. And by out there, I just mean out in the world. People who don't know Christ are crying, are reaching out. Is there something else? You know, that was the cry of my wife and I. There's got to be something else. Is a job, you know, again, don't misunderstand this, but is a job, a house, a car, is this all that it is? Is this life? I said to my wife one time when I was still in accounting, I said, if I have to do this for the rest of my life, I will be the most miserable man in the world. And I meant it. I meant it. She said, so quit. I went the next day and I quit. Or gave my notice. I came home. I said, guess what I did today? I quit. She said, you did what? I said, well, I'm not going to be miserable anymore. But actually, I still was. Why was I miserable? It's not changing jobs. It's not getting more money. The people in the world are just like you and I were when we were out there. And they're looking for someone to come to them, just like Peter did. You know, it's that story of Acts 10 that Pastor was talking about. Not only was an angel speaking to Cornelius, but Peter is having a vision in a whole different city at the same time. This is the work of God. I have this guy, Cornelius. He's a devout man, and I have my servant Peter, and he's a preacher of the gospel. And I need to put them together, and that's what God does, and Cornelius' life and his family are changed forever. Just like us. You know, we are not in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. We are living in verses 4 through, I think, 11 or 15. But God intervened in our life. He met us in our searching. He met us in our pain. He met us in our journey of trying to find some value in life. And he gave us everything. And this is our great commission. This is the purpose of the church, the ultimate purpose of the church. And the church does so much more. And, you could preach a whole message on the body of Christ in the way Paul describes it and all the purpose of the church and to sit with one and teach and love and be loved. You know, I'm sitting up there, you know, so nervous. And I just, during the last song, I just looked out and I said, wow. Wow. You know, these people, you know, it's a privilege to come up here and share the gospel, share what God has put on my heart with you. This is the body of Christ, man. This is awesome. This is like what we live for. And so as a church, we have this commission to go. And that's the second point. And then the last point, I mean, is that God says to us here, I think it's in this verse, but you shall receive power. Like, okay, we can read and not look at what he says in verse 8. What did he say to them? He said, wait here. Well, how long, Jesus? Just wait here, because you are not equipped right now to fulfill the Great Commission. You are not. And you could see, you know, a lot of times as people, we can get energized in the flesh and just run out there and say, okay, Great Commission, we can all run out of here and run to the apartments across the street. In the strength of our own willpower. But Jesus said, wait. It was 10 days. It's interesting. Like, I wonder what those 10 days, they're all gathered in this upper room every day. They have no idea what's going to happen. They have no idea what it means to be filled with the Holy Spirit. They have no idea. And they're waiting there for 10 days. And I can imagine, you know, but, you know, eighth or ninth day, they're like, how do you feel? You feel anything? I don't know. I felt a little tingling in my foot today. Is that what it is? You know? Like, what? You know, they don't even know what they're waiting for or what it's going to be like. They have no idea. Must have been the 10 longest days of their life, but when it came, it came. And it was unmistakable. And the greatest picture of that is a guy like Peter who, you know, even after Christ was resurrected, went back to his fishing boat. Jesus restored him. And he is the guy that Jesus chose to preach the first message under the authority of the Holy Spirit and in the power of the Holy Spirit. And 3,000 souls got saved. That's amazing. A restored Peter, you know, preaches the first message. And you can, you know, it's incredible. Peter, who ran away from Christ when he needed help the most, who denied he even knew him, and now he's commissioned by God with power and authority to preach the first message. That's incredible. That's incredible. So is anybody in this room disqualified? Absolutely not. Because it's not about us. That's what I'm saying. Jesus said, wait, receive power, then you can go out with the authority and the power of the Holy Spirit and be able to minister to people. Because it's, you know, evangelism is so much more than just going out there with, you know, John 3:16. Although maybe that's the capacity and maybe there's nothing wrong with that, but it's really the evangelism is allowing the Holy Spirit to minister through us to somebody. And what do we know about this person? I say this every Saturday I go out, like, I have no idea when we're going to meet out there. I don't have a clue. How do you prepare for that? You can't prepare for that. You just go out and you trust God. And God gives you. Pastor Vieter said one time in a, what was it? Wasn't Methods of Evangelism. It was, I forget the class, but he said, we have the advantage when we go out because we have the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit gives us insight into the people that we're talking to. And the Holy Spirit gives us words to speak to people. And so it's not about us. It's about him. He did the work. He commissioned the work. He empowers the work. And he is glorified through it. Amen? Amen. Amen. So, Father, we thank you this morning. Lord, really, without you, we can do nothing. But with you, there's no limit to what you can use a willing believer to do, Lord. There's no limit. So this morning, I also want to just pray. If you're here, maybe, and you've never received Christ. Maybe you've never started this journey with God. Maybe you don't know him. Maybe you heard today for the first time who he really is and why he really came. And I would just say this, he came for you. He came for you. And he died for you. He shed his blood for you. And he offers it to you as a free gift. So I just pray, if you've never received him before, just reach out to him and receive this free gift of salvation. And start a brand new life with God in your life, moment by moment, for the rest of all eternity. This is the new life that God has for you. So just ask Christ, just say a simple prayer. Lord, come into my life today. I ask you to come in, give me purpose, give me clarity, give me this brand new life that we've heard about this morning. Forgive me of all my sins. And if you prayed that prayer this morning, maybe for the first time, if you're here in the auditorium, just raise your hand just quick so our ushers could see. I don't know if there's a hand anywhere. Okay. Well, Father, thank you again for this morning. And we just thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.